Thank you for joining me, Bertie Britt, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so excited to share the message of God's unconditional love with you in the area of spiritual warfare. Today is the last session in our series on spiritual warfare. We've been talking about how we can walk in the spiritual war the way Jesus walked in it. You know, spiritual warfare is not about binding devils over cities. It's not about trying to cast devils out of people all the time, finding fault with people all the time. There's a place for casting out demons. When demons manifest in people, just cast it out. But the whole emphasis about spiritual warfare is not the devil, but it is to stand in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And having done all, to stand in what He has given unto you. Man, isn't that powerful? That is the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, there's nothing more exciting than to have a relationship with God, a relationship with who He is, not with what we can do for Him, but with Him as a person, with His person, with the love that is within Him, to have a relationship with that and to know God for who He truly is, and then to go and preach that word to other people. Man, that is exciting. Today, before we get into the rest of the session on spiritual warfare, I'm going to speak on healing. Let's just read from Psalm 103 and we just look at the good things that God has for us in the area of healing. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now that is a wonderful scripture there. You know, so many times when we go through a hard time or when sickness comes upon us or when the flu comes upon you, you say, "Man, I'm going to get a fit." Now I've got a good news for you. It says here that bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The only fit that there is for a Christian is a benefit. Hallelujah. Let's look at the benefits that there is in Jesus Christ. It says there, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Now that is something that God does. It's not something that you deserve. It's not something that you earn. It's something that He does. He forgives all your iniquities. He forgives your iniquities. And like Acts chapter 13 verse 38 says, "We declare unto you that your sins has already been forgiven." And you know what? If your sins has been forgiven in Jesus Christ, there's good news for you. It means that the rest of the verse has already happened towards you as well. It says, "Who healed all your diseases," or "who healeth all your diseases." He says He will heal all our diseases. Everyone, everything. And so many times we think, you know, I am sick because I've got the sin in my life or something like that. I've got good news for you. That's not the truth. Healing comes, doesn't matter what you've done, because He forgives your sins. And if He has forgiven your sins, what is in the way for you to be healed? Nothing. He comes with His healing compassion and He heals you. Hallelujah. That's the good news of God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the benefit of believing in Jesus. You might say, "Bertie, but I haven't lived holy enough to deserve healing." I've got good news for you. Neither did Jesus Christ deserve the punishment that was upon Him upon the cross. He didn't deserve that. And in the same way, and because of His great love, He came and He carried that sickness. He carried your punishment. He didn't deserve that. So He received what He has not deserved so that you can receive what you don't deserve. You don't deserve by your works to be healed. But I've got good news for you. By the works of Jesus, you deserve to be healed. Hallelujah. By what He's done, you deserve to feel better today. You know, so many times I realize that people's mindsets and their mentalities is what keeps them away from walking in healing continually, to have divine health in their lives. The other day I prayed for a man in a jail, and he got healed right there from a bad problem that he had. And he experienced complete healing. And I visited him in the jail today again. And then he said to me, "You know what? The pain is back." Now when I prayed for him, he was healed. Now, how can he feel better for a day or two and not be healed? For him to feel better, something miraculous had to happen. But what was needed was a change of mind. Like Jesus said to the man, go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. Now what Jesus meant to the man, meant when he said to the man that he raised up at the pool of Bethesda, go and sin no more, was don't go and walk in unbelief again. Know that I am with you. Know that my healing power has healed you. And that you don't need to by your works and by your effort, by putting you into the pool to be healed, that you will not be healed by your effort anymore. Go and sin no more. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, go and walk in faith, believing that you are healed. That's it. And that's the way we receive healing, and that's the way we maintain our healing, by believing in the finished work of Jesus. Never thinking it's by our works and our righteousness by deeds. Let's continue to read verse 5. Now let's read verse 4. Who redeemed your life from destruction? Now what he says here is, he redeems your life from destruction. You are not the redeemer. You are not the healer. And you're not the one that must forgive yourself before God will forgive you. No, you receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ today because He loves you. He cares for you. And I just want to say this right now. The love of God is the greatest motivator. It's the greatest power that will bring healing into your life. I believe the greatest way to be healed is to listen to the Word of God's love and to receive healing out of that. It's not just for somebody to lay hands and speak the Word of healing like I'm doing now. It's not just like that. I don't believe that's the greatest. The greatest I've seen is when we are in a service and I just preach the Word of God and somebody jumps up and says, I've been healed. I just heard that God loves me. And when I felt that love, it surrounded me. It entered my mind. It saturated my heart and my thought patterns. And when I saw again, I didn't have any pain anymore. Hallelujah. The other day I had flu and I just felt this pain in my head and it just felt so bad. And I knew that this flu is not from God. It's not right. It's got no right in my body. And as I was listening to a broadcast on television, a good news broadcast, I just felt the pain left me. I just felt this whole sinus pressure. It just left me by listening to the good news. You know, we shouldn't think, and this is something you must have in your mind. So many times we think that a real anointed preacher is somebody who will point out your sins and what you must do for God in order to be healed or to be blessed. Now, you don't need an anointing to tell people what to do. Because all other faiths, the Muslims, the Hindus, all other faiths will tell you what you must do. You don't need an anointing to tell people what they must do for God or what sins they must leave. Anointing is there so that we can bring forth Christ out of the Scriptures and what He has freely given unto you. Now I want to bring forth Christ out of the Scripture unto you today. It says here that we can bless the Lord, we can speak well of God. Why? Because He's got a lot of benefits for us, because He forgives our iniquities and He heals all our diseases. He heals it. So many times we want to heal it by our obedience. We want to heal it by our fervent prayer. We want to heal it, bring healing by what we do. True faith is a rest. Hallelujah. True faith is a deep rest, knowing what God has freely given unto you. It says here, who redeems your life from destruction. I want to tell you, cancer is destroying your life. Arthritis is destroying your life. And He is your Redeemer today. And He will heal you. Amen. Who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Your life will be crowned. It will shine forth with God loving you so much that you will experience Him as a God that is kind unto you. Now, let's read verse 10. It says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that believe upon Him or that reverently honor Him. So I've got good news for you. There's a God that cannot wait to crown you with loving kindness by healing you from your sickness and healing you from the very pain that's in your body right now. Now on the screen there's going to be a number, and I'm going to pray for you right now. And as you've been listening to this and you feel better, I want you just to SMS so that we can just read those SMSs and just tell people about the wonderful things that God has done. We've got a lot of SMSs already, but we want enough to make a whole program and just tell people about what God has done for you. So send that as God heals you. And we're going to pray right now and know that the sin that you've committed, especially if you've got AIDS or something like that, which is directly connected to some sin you've committed, I want to tell you and declare unto you, your sin has been forgiven. You've been set free by the Lamb of God. The blood of Jesus has washed you. And you are ready to receive your healing. The only thing that's been separating you from your healing is what you've believed about God. And today, grab this good news, man, and receive His healing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I speak your healing power over people right now by saying these words. In the name of Jesus, I bring healing into every house and every life that hears my voice right now. I speak healing into every person in the name of Jesus. I command backs to be healed. I command shoulders to be healed. I command blind eyes to open. I command deaf ears to hear. I command people with pain in their ears to be healed right now. I just command cancer to leave in Jesus' name. I bring healing. I heal you in Jesus' mighty name. By His power, I say you are healed and delivered right now. All pain be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. I just sense that the Holy Spirit tells me there's somebody listening to me right now that's got a pain in the stomach and you struggle to eat and you cannot keep your food in because of I think it's a stomach cancer or something, or it can be a big ulcer you've got in your stomach. And God is just bringing healing right now. You're just experiencing like a wind, a cold sensation going through your stomach, and you are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Just receive that healing. And I give God the praise for what He's done right now in your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for healing all these people. Now, let's continue with spiritual warfare. Let's open the Bible in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're just going to look at some of the scripture that's used in spiritual warfare and just bring it into context so that we can walk in the peace of God. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And He said, and they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answering said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed, or to be envied, are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock, which is Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, when we hear the scripture, we think that God has given unto us a key. And then when we say, "I bind this and I loose this," we are into a binding and loosing ministry, trying to bind territorial spirits over certain towns and certain places. But that is not what this scripture is teaching us all about. The scripture here is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The scriptures, the backdrop of this whole thing is Peter coming with a revelation that comes from God, and it has been revealed unto him that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. The one that has to come to set the people free. And then out of that context, in that backdrop, that whole platform, he says unto Peter, that I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, the keys of what I've brought unto you. And that was the message of grace and the message of peace in Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible says that grace and peace came by Jesus. So what he came to do is, he said unto Peter, Peter, there's certain things that I'm going to tell you to declare as lawful, which is already lawful in heaven. And there's certain things that I'm going to tell you to declare as not lawful, which is already not lawful in heaven. And what you declare on earth must already be that way in heaven. Now you might say, Bertie, that's not the true context of the scripture. But just to get into the depth of that, I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says here, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind, now listen to what it means to bind. And the Hebrew people, binding and loosing was a certain thing, a certain saying in their time. And what it meant was this: when you said, I bind this, you actually said, I don't allow this. And when you say that I loose this, it means I allow you. It's like me telling my child, you're not allowed to go riding with a motorbike right now. We're going to go to town. It means I bind him. I tell him, you're not allowed to do that. And then I come back, I can tell him, you can go riding with your motorbike now. Well, I've just loosed him. Now, this is the context of binding and loosing. The context here is not territorial spirits or all those type of things. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ and the declaration of who Christ is and His new reign, His kingdom in this world. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. In other words, he wasn't allowed just to say, I bind this, I loose this, just as he felt. No. He had to look into heaven, and he had to see what has been loosed in heaven. And he had to declare that. Now, the place where that happened was in the book of Acts, where God spoke to him and he had a vision, and he saw a sheet with unclean animals. And God said, eat of this. So in the heavens was already declared that the heathen can also be saved by Jesus Christ. And he had to declare and say, it is lawful for them to be saved by Jesus Christ. Amen. That was loosing. And binding, and the way I see binding is to tell people, when you look into heaven, you see that the whole concept of by what I do, I'll become righteous, has been bound up in Jesus. It is not like that anymore. And we can declare right now and say that whole old law system is bound in Jesus' name, and grace has been loosed and it's free in the world. That's binding and loosing. Amen. And when it comes to sickness and disease and some attack you feel, that what you do is you declare the righteousness of Jesus and what He's done for you on your behalf in that situation. Let's take it, for instance, financially. If you see financial hardship coming, or you are in a place where you struggle financially, you don't have to try to bind the devil. All you have to do is to say, by what I do, I'm not going to become more rich. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and my hard labor adds nothing unto it. Amen. That's the first thing. And then you say, I have been blessed. You say that He provides for me according to His riches that's in glory. I know the grace of God. He was rich. He became poor so that I through His poverty might be made rich. And the context is finances. And I tell you, in that moment, you declare by believing and speaking, it manifests in your life. That's the context of that scripture. Now, I don't have a lot of time to go more into depth into that, but I just want to touch on a scripture in Matthew chapter 12 quickly,
where we speak about the strong man. You know, so many times we think there's a strong man over a town and we need to bind the strong man. And if we don't bind that strong man, the kingdom of God is not going to prevail against the gates of the devil. No, it's not like that. The Bible says that Hades and hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. I've got good news for you. The whole message that says that the evil in this world is going to take over the church and that evil is going to rule on this planet is not the truth. The truth is that the evil will not stand up against the power of the church. Man, I tell you, there is so many gospel channels coming up all over the world. The gospel is taking over the world. People, if you don't believe that, open your eyes and see what God is doing. Churches are just springing up everywhere. People are getting saved at a rate that has never been seen in history. The gospel is taking over. The righteousness of God is starting to take over everywhere. Man, I tell you, in a couple of years from now, if you're not a Christian, you're going to be out. That's it. You're not going to be in. It's going to be the in thing to be born again. It's going to be an in thing to walk in the power of God, to pray in tongues, to see the sick being healed, and to just have the glory of God indwelling you. Amen. Now let's get into Matthew chapter 12 quickly from verse 29. Now what happened here was Jesus healed a man that was devil possessed. He cast the devil and the demon out of the guy. He was healed. He could hear and speak again. Then they said he casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub, which is the chief of demons, which is the devil himself. And then Jesus answered. He said, but if I cast devils out by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So now what he says is, I'm not casting out devils by the power of the devil. But what is happening is there's a new kingdom. Open your eyes. The old kingdom has passed away. There's a new kingdom now. And this kingdom is the kingdom of God that's come to earth. And this is what he says. But if I cast devils out by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? Now, by this, he doesn't say, I need to bind the strong man and then I can cast the devil out. And then the context is every person's life. No, the context is his kingdom came, and by his kingdom coming to this earth, and that came when he came, the strong man was bound. Now, who is that strong man? That strong man was the devil, and what he was using was the very strong weapon, which was the law. So Jesus came and he bound the devil and his power by taking the law away in fulfilling the law. And when Jesus' kingdom came, he was plundering the house of the enemy. And that was casting out devils. Now, I don't have time to really go more into depth into that, but that is the context of that whole thing. Now, I've got good news for you. The strong man, the God of this world. Now, if you think of the God of this world, a couple of sessions ago I spoke on that. The God of this world is the law. This whole world, this earth, this planet is governed by do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, what you must and shouldn't do. But the kingdom of God is not, it doesn't function by those rules. It functions by the life of God indwelling humans. Hallelujah. Man, I don't want to have anything to do with a law or a rule. When I think of this new year, when I think of 2007, the other day people asked me, what do you want to, what's your vision for 2007? I said, man, not to be under the law at all. Not to have a little bit of no law in me. Nothing. Just the life of God indwelling me and compelling me to just live like God. Amen. Man, that's the easiest way of serving God. Amen. Now, if you want to bind the strong man over every town, you're going to waste your time. The strong man over every town, if you believe it or not, is God. He's the strongest person over every town. And if you want to talk about a negative sense or the kingdom, the devil's kingdom, and a strong man over a town, it is unbelief in Christ. And the only way unbelief gets out of a place is by preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Man, it's just as easy as that. Hallelujah. Now, let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 4. And we're just going to look at Jesus and how He was fighting the devil. Now, I'm just going to touch on one piece here. Maybe I'll get into this in the next session. I don't know. But Jesus came and the devil came to tempt Him. And this was the war He was in. He says here, but Jesus answered the devil, after the devil said unto Him that we should turn stones into bread. Jesus said unto Him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, the way the devil wanted to war against Jesus was by telling Him, don't believe that God said that you are His son, but prove your sonship by putting something in the physical. Prove yourself. By your works, you can know for sure you are a child of God. And that's the whole war, people. The devil wants to get you back into works. And the war we are in is to stand into the finished work of Jesus Christ with everything. Man, isn't that good news? Now, we've just run out of time. And I just want to pray for you and just speak the blessing of God over you. Father, I speak an open mind, an enlightened mind to understand this revelation of God's unconditional love, mercy and grace over every person. Amen. I want to just hear from you. Just send me an SMS. Make use of our ministry products. Thank you and God bless you.